How many people have your Bible today? If you do, please stand up and bear witness of His Word. Beautiful. Wave it around, please. Beautiful. You may be seated. Would you please turn to the book of James, chapter 1. Of course, you're here today. The obvious thing is we know there's a holiday that's coming up. And what is that holiday? July the 4th. We celebrate what? We celebrate our independence. And so you know from history, hopefully you know, they do still teach history, don't they? Okay, sort of. We are a free nation, not because of July the 4th, but that's the day that it happened on. There was a document called the Declaration of Independence that we base our independence on. We were independent after that day, according to the Declaration of Independence, where we declared our independence as a free country to be independent of any kind of rule from another country. And we celebrate that today. So there's a certain amount of liberty, and we hear that word liberty a lot. And so looking at James chapter 1, he speaks of a liberty. And I want us to be able to look at this today, but there's something that I saw that I think is amazing, and it really is, it's the condition that so many people are in a fast-paced, moving world, in a world where we all have our own agendas, in a world where, yes, we will take time this upcoming weekend or upcoming week to celebrate the 4th of July. Our Independence Day, going back to 1776, and we use that day as the day that the official document that Jefferson drew up was actually signed by the Continental Congress, and they declared this, and so we use this day as a day, even though it wasn't yet delivered to Great Britain, it wasn't yet delivered to England, so we use this day as a day where we've declared it. So look at James chapter 1, verse 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Be ye what?
Doers.
And not what?
Hearers.
Now you have to hear in order to do, but it said not just hearers, not hearers only. Deceiving your own selves. Well, listen, we're smarter than that. We wouldn't deceive our own self. We use the term today, hey, don't fool yourself. How many of us would dare fool ourselves? No, we wouldn't knowingly deceive our own selves. But listen, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. In James 1, we see an overwhelming statement. James is trying to tell us, don't forget who you are. Don't forget that you're free. He gives us the picture of a person walking up to a mirror and looking into that mirror and seeing themselves, but then walking away because it wasn't a long look. It was a what? Somebody tell me.
Glance.
It was a glance. And then he gives us the antidote. He says, but whosoever looks and continues to look. But then he uses the word, the perfect law of liberty. So all this comes together, and sometimes we can just dismiss this and say, well, I'm not sure what he's talking about. But understand, what better thing to talk about today than something that we can equate to the real liberty? And Dalton alluded to it in his prayer. It's not just the liberty as a country to be free, because even though we're free as a country, understand, you're still not completely free. But God gives us an opportunity to be completely free. To be free from the bondage of sin. And you say, well, hey, I want to celebrate being free because I know that there are countries that are not free countries. Understand that I'm talking about something that frees you from everything. But we don't see it because it's invisible. Today I want it to become visible. I've prayed that God would make it visible. You see, he talks about a hearer but not a doer. a hearer but not a doer. He says, forgets who they are. Why? Because they don't apply what they hear. They hear, but they don't do it. He's speaking to saved believers here, those who've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, knowing that a believer can forget that they are a child of God who's been saved from the penalty of their sin. You say, well, hey, a Christian, a child of God, can never forget that they've been saved. I know a lot of people that have forgotten the responsibility to worship this morning. And a lot of people that forget the responsibility to pray. They're a child of God. They forget that God has blessed them in such a way to save their soul from an eternal hell, to give them fellowship here on this earth with an almighty God. And you say, well, they might remember it. And yes, I'll give you that. You see, it's not a matter of forgetting altogether. They just live as though they don't remember the covenant that they entered into with God. Now you're thinking about that person. I was that person. I was that person that was saved. But I started just glancing at what I needed to do. I stopped looking continually like he's talking about. I stopped focusing on the liberty and the freedom I had from the bondage of sin because I had so many other things in life to look at. Can I get a witness? Maybe it wasn't just me. Anybody that happened to you in here? We live in a really fast-paced world, and you have to go out there, and if you want to achieve something, you got your hand in a little bit of everything. And so sometimes all you can give God is a glance. All you can give him is a what? A glance. And so I want to talk a little about what James is saying. You see, James doesn't just tell us to do. He didn't say, hey, go out and do. He said, be doers. Is that a difference? Yes. You see, doers means that our complete personality should be characterized by that trait. Not that we have shown up every now and then to do. There's a lot of people that can show up once a week and do. I've shown up to worship. You showed up to do. But are you a doer? Is it a part of your trait? Is it a part that defines you? He said a doer is different than somebody that just comes and does. That person is a doer. They didn't just do something. They're continually doing not just good deeds, but the other things that a saved believer should do. You say, well, should a saved believer do things besides good deeds? Absolutely. Here's some. How about worship? Here's another one. Seek God. Here's another one. Serve God. And here's a biggie. Love God. That's being a doer. Now, how many of us on a daily basis, even though we thought the phrase a minute ago didn't make sense, how many of us on a daily basis saved by the grace of God? Anybody saved in here? How many of us on a daily basis forget our responsibility that we made to God when we said, God, save us, and I'm going to live for you, and I'm going to serve you? Anybody in here forget that? Yeah, right. You know why? Because we're glancing at him. James characterizes this by saying, this person is the person that sees themselves in the mirror and then quickly goes on their way with their mind occupied by other things. I gave the children this definition this morning, really short definition. Webster nails it here. He says a glance is to look briefly. To look briefly. There are some that can get into a habit of just glancing into God's written word once a week on Sunday morning. I'll glance at it with you, Pastor. Good. There's some that glance once every couple of weeks, once every several weeks. But he doesn't tell us to glance. He tells us to what? To look. So the other phrase in here that stands out is the word liberty. The liberty that is spoken of here is a genuine freedom from sin. When a person is saved, the Holy Spirit applies the principles of Scripture to a believer's heart, and at that point, they're freed from sin and they're enabled to obey God. They are freed from sin. Jesus put it this way. This is John chapter 8. Let me read to you Jesus' words. John chapter 8. You can turn there if you want. He says it so much better. He was speaking to the Jews. They were trying to convince him that they weren't actually in bondage. They were children of Abraham. They weren't accepting him. And Jesus went on to tell them, if you've sinned, you're in bondage. It's not this physical bondage, it's a spiritual bondage. He said, Jesus answered them, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Now, as we read this, we see that Jesus was saying, in no uncertain terms, you think that you're free, but you're not completely free. You see, free indeed means completely free. Jesus said, if the Son, that's a capital S-O-N, they're speaking of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, if I make you free, you can be completely free. Not free, but completely free. Not momentarily free, but completely free. I have something to tell you. There were people that were living here before 1776 that were completely free. And yes, we were freed from the rule of another country, but being free has nothing to do with who you're in subjection to in this physical world. It has to do who you're in subjection to in the spiritual world, the unseen. You see, our sin puts us all in bondage. Jesus Christ made a way for us to be able to come to God in spite of our sin. The Bible tells us that Jesus became sin. He became sin. He who never sinned became sin, that we could be made the righteousness of God in Him. James goes on to say and uses this term in James 1, the perfect law. Interesting here, he says, but whosoever looketh into the perfect law, he's not talking about the glancer anymore, he's talking about the perfect law of liberty. He that looketh into the perfect law of liberty, the perfect law, we need to understand, and sometimes somebody says the law of God, and we immediately think about, well, that's Old Testament law. Let me tell you something, whether it be Old Testament or whether it be New Testament, the perfect law is God's inerrant revealed word. That's what's called the law. Amen. Whether it was written before Jesus, Old Testament, or after Jesus, that's the law. If it came out of God, then that's what we call God's law. Amen. Understand something. You say, well, that was when God's law. No, God's law is revealed to you every day. What God tells me to do and not to do, God's law is still being revealed to me. God's law is still being revealed to you. When he told you this morning to be faithful to get up and worship, and you had that thought, oh, it's going to be pretty, I could get this done, or when you told that person, and I was talking to somebody yesterday that was trying to get somebody to come to church, they say, well, Sunday's the only day that we have where we're not busy, right? So man's worshiping himself. God warned against this. He said, hey, listen, you need to give me a day. This day is holy. You need to give me a day. But man still is trying to do it. That's not just God's law from Old Testament. God appeals to us today and says, hey, my perfect law is for you to come to me today and be with me and hear me. That's his new law that's coming to us. It's old law, it's new law. When God tells that husband to be able to be kind and affectionate and serve his wife and be unselfish and love her, that's God's law being revealed to you. It doesn't have to come from some kind of Old Testament scripture. His daily law, the presence of God's grace and God's law doesn't mean that we have no moral law or code of conduct. Believers are enabled by the Holy Spirit to keep God's word. And this is what's great. James is saying, when you look into this perfect law of liberty, then what's going to happen? He says, well, if you're not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Do you know that God gives us that ability, or to a believer, to let the Holy Spirit help us to keep God's word? Not just hear it, but keep it. Paul said in Romans 8, verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but the Holy Spirit. Now, me by myself and you by yourself. Again, any believers in here? You don't have the ability in your natural self to keep God's law. Your natural flesh wants to do its own thing. Mine wants to do its own thing. I need the Holy Spirit to lead me, to guide me, to convict me, to be able to convince me. By myself, when I step outside of that, I'm in trouble. That's when I mess up. Understand something. If I'm just glancing, I'm always going to mess up because I'm not looking into the perfect law of liberty. The perfect law of liberty, that's what freed me from my sin. It freed me from the bondage of sin. If I only glance at it, if I come in here and I hear that and I glance at, oh, that was good, man, I can make that application, boom, I'm gone. It's not gonna change anything. I've talked to person after person that they'll hear the word and they say, man, I know I need to change. I know I need to do something. I need to start doing this. That husband says, hey, you know what? We need to start doing this. Then 3 weeks later, hey, you know what? We really need to start doing this. It's a glance. It's a glance. It's a glance. If you look into it, of what really freed you and gave you the power to be able to keep that, if you looked into it, God would enable you to do it. God gives us the ability through the Holy Spirit to obey His commands. He gives us the ability to be doers. It's part of our liberty. It's part of your liberty package. He put the Holy Spirit in you to let you be able to actually carry out. God's never put anything in His Word that you can't do. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able to bear, but will also with that temptation make for you a way to escape. He will not let anything happen to you that you can't get out of with Him. He will not tell you anything that you need to do to please Him that you can't do. He will empower you to do it. We're freed from sin and we're freed from that overwhelming voice that tries to convince us to sin. Hold on a second, Pastor. You might say, I still have that voice in me convincing me to sin. Listen to what I'm saying. Yes, you do, but you have a voice that has freed you also that will speak against that voice of sin. The reason that you're saying the voice of sin is the predominant one, I've had it too. The reason is because you're glancing. When I was glancing, all I could hear was the other voice, and then there was that little voice inside of me. But when you start looking into the perfect law of liberty by which you were freed in the Holy Spirit, and you're seeking the Holy Spirit through His Word, through prayer, through faithful worship, guess what? The voice enables you to hear it more clearly. I was asked yesterday by a couple. They were concerned about their children. They said, my children said they're saved, but yet they're not attending church. Are they saved? I said, you know what? You can't say they're not saved. They could be saved. They're just not hearing that voice of conviction. Why? They're glancing. And we glance. Don't we? We fit him in when we can fit him in. There's always a reason. If I ever get to retire, the book I'm going to write is going to be the book of excuses. I've used a lot. The first part will be mine. And then I've got about 50 chapters that can come in there from being a pastor. Stuff you would never understand. It all makes sense at the time. And so you end up glancing. I think James hit it on the head. He knew that we might say, well, I still have that voice trying to convince me to sin. But hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit is one thing. We'll hear it. It's a voice of direction and conviction. But doing what the voice says is another thing. God's telling us, yes, we will hear it, but if you want to be blessed by God, you have to do it. Hearing it is one thing, doing it is another. I can give orders all day long, but if the orders aren't carried out, then what good does it do? And God's not just some master giving orders. It's for our own good. You say, how do you mean? Listen to what James says in verse 25. That person that's a doer of the word, Well, verse 25 says, will be blessed in his deed. Look, that this man shall be blessed in his deed. What deed? That he went out and he helped the poor, that he gave to this, that he organized a charity. No. He stopped glancing and started looking. He stopped being a hearer and started being a hearer and a doer. And so he's blessed in the deed of hearing and doing. Liberty. Let's talk a little bit about the liberty that we receive when we get saved. There's a difference between being free for a day, free for a week, and being completely free, which is what Jesus said, free indeed. Whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Well, we know what God tells us we need to do. We hear what God tells us we need to do, but we forget it because it was only a glance into his word. It's considered a glance if we don't keep looking. Can any of you remember at a glance you watched this morning, even in the children's sermon? Now, I'll be the first to tell you, I'm not a person that has to spend a lot of time in the mirror. Not because there's nothing that needs to be fixed, it's just I don't have as much to take care of as most of you do. I can really go by feel and see that my hair is right. But a lot of time is spent making sure you look completely right. Have you ever seen that person? And I watch sometimes. I mean, praise God, never had to put on makeup, and no man should. But the faces that I see being made. Women, come on. Right? How is it you have to get all the way down here to get this stuff up here? Sometimes I just stand around the corner and I watch this stuff happen in here to where you're trying to get this little part and this, and then you're looking to make sure that it's all right, right? That's only happening at my house, right? She's not in here. But then it's a look, right? And you get dressed and you take that look. But you're not glancing about that, are you? No. Why? Because you care what you look like. You care what you look like. You get what I'm saying? You get what James is saying? If you care, then you'll look. The bottom line is, and we hate to hear it, the bottom line is, well, God knows a lot of times we really don't care as much about that as the things that we are really looking into. We really look into our hobbies. We really look into our social schedule. We really look into our financial position. We really look into our pleasure. We really look into relationship building. We really look into everybody else's business that's going on. But do we look into the perfect law of liberty that saved us, that freed us from the bondage of sin, that gave us a relationship with Jesus Christ to get to God the Father? Galatians 5:1, Paul says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Listen, I think back and I think about those children of Israel that were freed from bondage, but yet they kept looking back at those things that they had and things that they had. And Moses and God both speaking through Moses, surely you remember you used to be slaves. And I appeal to Christians today, surely we remember that we used to be lost, right? That's important. Because when you were lost, you had no fellowship with God. We don't receive our freedom from sin, our liberty, by doing good works. We're freed from the bondage of sin by our faith, by believing and professing. The Bible says that if we believe in our heart, the Lord Jesus, if we confess with our mouth, then we'll be saved. Galatians 2:16-17, Paul also writes, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." You can't pay the penalty for your own sin. You can't make it right with God without looking into the law of liberty and going through Jesus to do it. So when he's saying we've been justified, understand this, justified, he's saying that you actually, as a child of God, as a Christian, you actually are not guilty anymore of sin. Hold on a second before you feel real good. You see, Jesus sacrificing his life as a payment for our sin is him taking the penalty of sin, but it's also him taking the sin. When God could not look on his own son, when it hung upon the cross and Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It wasn't because God was looking the other way. It was because he had every sin I've ever committed on him. He had every sin you've ever committed on him. He didn't just take the sin. He became the sinner. You see, I can't believe you said this about Jesus Christ. The Bible says it about him. He actually takes our sin, meaning that when God sees us, he doesn't see our sin because it's been transferred to Jesus.
Amen.
Glory to God. Therefore, God doesn't see us as sinners. He sees everyone that's asked Jesus to be their Savior as not guilty of sin, justified by Jesus. Therefore, we are free from the bondage of sin, so that's kept us from being free to fellowship with God in this life and eternal life. The bondage of sin kept us from God. Anybody in here know that God's a holy and righteous God? You think you could sneak to God with something that you have in your life and say, hey, me and you, and I want to have a relationship with you. Well, God can have nothing to do with sin. He couldn't even look on his own son. So who am I? Hey, Mike Shove came today. Pretty good guy. You're not that bad. He's got a couple of things going for him, but I know he's got this thing. I'm going to look over it. No, God can have nothing to do with sin. So there had to be a point in my life when I gave my heart to Jesus Christ and say, I believe in you as the sacrifice for my sin. I believe that you never sinned. I believe that because you never sinned, you could be the sacrifice for my sin. You could take my sin. God requires a sacrifice. Jesus became that sacrifice. Now, was I there? No, I wasn't there. I have to accept it by faith. I have to believe in my heart that the only way that I can get to God is to accept Jesus Christ. When I believe that and I confess that, and God looks at my words and looks at my heart and sees that, and I ask God to free me. That's another word for save me. Free me. From what? From the penalty of sin. What's the penalty of sin? The penalty of sin is keeping me from God. You say, well, listen, I prayed before I was saved. You might have, but God never heard a word of it. Why? Because you have to go through the intercessor, Jesus Christ. And if you haven't claimed him, if you haven't accepted him, he's not your intercessor. The only prayer that God can hear from anyone before they're saved is, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, he knows your mind, he knows your thoughts, he knows your intents, but you don't have a relationship with him because I'm a sinner, you're a sinner. But once you're saved, God takes your sin. Does that mean that you're free to do whatever you want to? No, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, you know, should we sin so that grace could abound? God forbid. God forbid that you would do that. You don't make a mockery out of God's grace and say, hey, I've got my heaven card, so I'm going to live however I want to here on earth. No, that's making a mockery out of God's salvation. In Romans chapter 8, listen to this. Verse 1 and 2, Paul says, therefore, amen, there is no condemnation.
Amen.
Talking to saved people, there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of the life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. You talk about liberty. Hey, I'm as ecstatic as anyone is. I love the country I live in. I am so glad that these years ago, these 240 some years ago, we were freed. We had a document that gave us that. I celebrate it the same way you celebrate it because I know there's countries that are not. I'm not minimizing that. I'm waving my flag today, but I'm also waving my Christian flag to say, by the grace of God, he freed me from my sin. No matter what country I live in, I can live in a country where I'm in bondage to somebody, where I'm in rule, and I could die a free man if I've had my sins freed. That's the freedom. That's the life I'm going to live forever. So I want to celebrate that freedom. I want to separate the liberty. But I can't do it by just glancing at it the way I'm doing my freedom on July the 4th. So let me give you a little wake up here. We've got a generation that tomorrow, that Thursday, is going to be waving their flag on that day, July the 4th. We were freed. We were independent. And they're going to use that holiday. They're not going to work. And listen, there's a generation that doesn't even respect this country. You know why? They take one day and glance at their freedom, look at it, and spend the other day saying, hey, what can I protest against? What am I about? What kind of thing is being taken from me? They're not looking at the place that they live. You say, well, hey, are you preaching about society and social things? Hey, it all fits in. I want to spin it back around and tell you, we do God the same way. We pick a day and we come in and we look into Him, but it's only a glance because we use the other days going out, looking at whatever we're really interested in. And what James is saying, don't forget, you've been freed. Act like you've been freed. Be a doer, not just a hearer. Be a looker, not just a glancer. How are we blessed by our liberty? The blood of Christ frees us from this guilt of sin. I love Ephesians 1, verse 3 and 4. The Bible says, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Sometimes we look back and we say, man, God has blessed me. Look at this house He's given me. Look at this job He's given me. Look at this car He's given me. Look at my health He's given me. Are all those blessings? They are. They're just temporary. We focus a lot on our temporary blessing. Paul said, hey, I'm past that. I'm praising God for the spiritual blessings that I've got through Jesus Christ in heavenly places. Those are things that transcend time, transcend this world. So you mean tomorrow if I die and give up all these things, I have to stop being blessed? Well, that's the way you have to look at it if you're just glancing at the temporary world. But if you're looking at the spiritual blessings, you have something to praise Him about today, no matter if you lose everything tomorrow. No wonder people walk around discouraged, discontent, always anxious and worried they're going to lose what they have or something in this temporary world. Why? Because they're looking at that as the blessing. And basically God is saying, your blessing is not what you have in this world, even though, hey, listen, me doing good things for you, you can consider that a blessing. That's the favor of God in this temporary life. But He said, I'm giving you spiritual blessings. Hey, like what? Hey, how about not burning in hell forever and being in the presence of God, being able to glorify Him, having my children see that they heard the gospel and they're here with me? Hey, I'll take that blessing any day than a comfortable life. Would you? And that's the promise. I live with that freedom. Well, what is the freedom? That if this world ends today for me, that I don't have to worry at all. Oh, no, I'm not pushing for it. Of course I want to be here. I had somebody say the other week, well, what do you mean you're okay with leaving? Of course you want to be here. I'm okay because I'm looking past it. I didn't used to look past it. And people say, well, I don't want to leave. I don't want to leave this. I want to leave my family. I don't want to leave. Of course we don't, because we haven't looked past it. If you think this is good, then you haven't looked past it. But the reason that we think this is so good is because we're looking at this and glancing at Him. Peter explained God's declaration of independence through Jesus that would free us from the bondage of sin. It was the first message, that powerful message that Peter preached before the church started in Acts chapter 2. We're promised that our sins will be forgiven, that there's true repentance, not repentance at a glance, but true repentance. Listen to Peter's message. Acts 2, 38. Repent and be ye baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. Did you hear that? Amen. Repent. change your heart position. You can't do that with a glance. But do you know, even the church today is promoting a glance at God and go on? That's the model, a glance at God and go on. Let's bring you in here and let's have some big emotional service. Let's tell you what to say. Say it and then go about your business knowing that, hey, you've had an experience. Am I not supposed to talk about that? Did I just say something I wasn't supposed to? You realize this is happening? God didn't ask us to come in and glance at Him. He said, continue to look into the perfect law of liberty. What is that perfect law of liberty? That's that Jesus Christ freed us from the bondage of sin. Continue to look to the Holy Ghost to speak to you. Continue to look into His Word. Continue to have your time with God so that He can reveal to you. Continue to seek Him. Continue to pray. Continue to worship. Continue to look. And He'll continue to reveal Himself to you. This continual freedom is available to Christians after they are saved if they continue to look into the law of God's Word. And I do need to explain to you that God's Word, whether it be His written Word or the Word that the Holy Spirit speaks to us inside of our heart and mind that tells us what we need to do and what not to do, is what Jesus tells us to continue in. It's not just the written Word, but yes, you hear the written Word. Understand, the Word of God comes to you on a daily basis. If you're saved, when God speaks, that would be His what? His Word. Anybody ever said this phrase? I know I shouldn't do this, but it sort of rolls off your tongue. Anybody ever said that? Anybody ever said it 1,000 times? Right. Why? I'm going to glance at what I'm supposed to do, but then I'm going to do this. I'm going to hear, but I'm not going to do. I'm going to hear, but I'm not going to do. Guess what? I read verse 25. If I hear, but I don't do, I'm not going to be blessed by God. I lived that life for a long time, so I'm proclaiming it to you today. I know that John wrote in 1 John 1:6-10, listen to the word. Just listen to this. He said, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Oh, there's that word again, right? Be not hearers of the word, deceiving yourself. Listen, he says this again. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, listen, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if we say that we have not sinned, we make him to be a liar and his word is not in us. It could appear sometimes his word is not in us if we're just glancing, right? A lot of us Christians, those of us who know that we're saved, we've been freed from the penalty of our past sins when we ask the Lord to save us. We've been freed from the condemnation of sin and the penalty of eternal life in hell, but we struggle on a day-to-day basis in this life, always anxious about something, always worried about something, or discouraged about something, never really feeling that peace in our lives. And you come into church and you hear Pastor Mike talk about, hey, God's going to give you peace. And you say, yes, he will. But then secretly, you go back to your life and you're saying, I don't have peace today. I don't have peace today. And I'm a little anxious about this. And what if this happens? And I don't know about this. And hey, I need to get over here. And this needs to happen. And this person isn't saying what they need to say. Or this relationship isn't going right. What if that doesn't happen? And we live in this angst. This lack of peace. Ever happened to anybody in here? Oh, this continual thing. That's the absence of peace. It's when we're continually not at heart rest. Now, peace is not just walking out and looking at the mountain. That's why I'm going on vacation, Pastor. I'm going on vacation so I can just go and look at the ocean, look at the mountain. Right, that week will be a glance in your year. He says, look into the perfect law of liberty. Look, continue therein. That's where you will find your real peace. And what will you be blessed in your deed with? The God of peace will give you peace. Whether you have or you have not. Was Paul able to say, hey, I've learned to be content. Whether I have or whether I don't have. What's Paul's secret? How do you have that peace? Paul was continually looking into the perfect law of liberty that saved him. He continually looked to God. He continually talked to God. Is it that simple? It is. You've heard it. What do we have to do? Not just do it, be a doer. See, to practice every day is to continue to look into it. You see, we stay in this position of discouragement or worry or depression or anxiousness. It's because we're free, but we're not completely free. I go back to what Jesus said. The problem is we're not free indeed. He said, well, if you have this truth in you. No, he said, if you continue in it. See, a lot of us got saved. Anybody in here been saved before, but your life has just been a total mess and you've just went through days even after you were saved of just being upset about things in life and what happened, overcome with life, and then realize, hey, man, I haven't even taken this to the Lord in prayer. I haven't been saved. Anybody? Anybody? You've been freed. It doesn't feel like I'm free. Why? You're not free indeed. You're not completely free. How do you get completely free? Here's the answer today. Continue to look into the perfect law of liberty. Remember when you got saved? Remember when you got saved? That day you heard that and you made that decision to say, Lord, I'm lost and I'm so afraid I'm going to be separated from you forever. I need to be saved. Man, there was nothing that day that was more important, right? Amen. Why is it all these days after there's so many things that's more important? Where we revert to a glance at Him, but a look at everything else. You see, we've been freed from the bondage of sin that would condemn us to hell and total separation from God, but we're allowing ourselves to be in bondage while we live our everyday life. That bondage of worry, the bondage of fear, the bondage of discouragement, the bondage of depression or discontentment or dissatisfaction. This is when we're in bondage to something that's occupying our mind and heart because we failed to confess it. We failed to give it to God. We glance at it. We notice that we need to fix it, but we don't continue to look at it and concentrate on it. Why? We go right to trying to solve it. Anybody in here? A solver, boy, you see it, you're all occupied by it. So I call us scramblers. You find yourself always scrambling to fix something, right? How's that peace when you're scrambling? When are we going to learn? We'll glance back at Him. Hey, in my glance, Lord, I need you to help me with this. I've got this plan implemented, so I'm going to revert back to you. Can you help implement my plan? How many times have I prayed, God, my will be done, please? Have you? I'll glance at Him for help, but I don't go to Him helpless. Did you hear me? I glance at Him for help, but He wants me to come to Him helpless. We could actually spend our life glancing at what God wants us to hear and do, but never really do it. What's the message that God wants you to hear? God wants you to be completely free. He wants us to continue in the perfect law of liberty. But we can't do it by glancing at His Word. A glance at liberty. You know today, if you're a Christian, you know today if you've been glancing or if you've been looking. Spent the last 45 minutes explaining it. Will you leave today and this be a glance in your life, or will it be a look? Will it be a glance or a look? Can you leave here today and say, hey, he preached on this, but will it be a glance or a look? I didn't lead myself to preach this. I'm preaching something I was guilty of for years and years. And I'm sure I'm not the only one, or I wouldn't have been led to preach it. And I have to guard against it today with all the other things that can occupy your mind. Even as a pastor, you've got to be careful not to just glance at what you need to do, right? Don't just glance at His Word. And I know it, we're all the same way. You say, what do I do? That's me. I've got so many things to look at in life, I'm glancing at it. Well, I want to go back to 1 John. What you've been doing, sinning. Same as I've been doing. He said, if you confess it, He's faithful and just to forgive you of it and cleanse you of it. What do you do? Come fall before your holy and righteous God that sent His Son Jesus to free you from the bondage of eternal sin and claim that liberty and say, God, I'm yours. And I want to keep looking into what You say. The power of the Holy Spirit, remember, enables us to do that. If we walk after the Spirit, then we won't have to fall to the flesh. You don't have to do it. And if you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, today's the day to do it. Why? Because the day is the day that you don't just glance at it, you look at it, you say, hey, if I want to be eternally free, free indeed, I have to accept Jesus as my Savior. I have to confess that He is who He says He is, that God is who He says He is, and that I'm a believer, that my sins are going to doom me and keep me from God. Please forgive my sins. Come into my heart. At this point in time today, you will become a free man or woman. But not just free, completely free. Father God, I love You. I praise You. I thank You for this time You've given us. I pray You take Your Word, impress it upon our heart. I pray, God, that Your message today is nothing that we glance at and go on as a time where we filled the 8 o'clock service. I pray, God, that we take this and look at it and look at ourselves. That we stop at that mirror that You're showing us today of ourselves and we look, Lord, at ourselves and take a long look. But that we not look on the outside, we look on the inside. That we look through that perfect law of liberty. That we see that we're living a life free indeed, Lord. Are we looking? Are we glancing? Show us ourselves today, God. I pray that You would move in this service and let lives be changed, Lord, as people want to rededicate themselves to be able to look and not glance through life, Lord. I pray that You would help marriages through this, that You would help families through this, that You would help relationships through this. God, I pray that You would take away this feeling of lack of peace and anxiousness and worry and discouragement and discontentment, Lord. I pray that You would banish it from us today, Father, knowing that all we have to do is to look in Your perfect law of liberty and You will give us that peace and bless us with it, Father. Let it be seen today, Lord, so clearly, and that no one leave here, Lord, just glancing. In Jesus' name, amen.